Well, welcome one and all, and happy Sabbath to each one gathered here, and those that are on the phone and those listening to the recording. It is good to be back with you all once again, and I pray that God's blessings have been showered upon you in this past week. Praise His holy name that we're able to come back in worshiping Him together as one in spirit and in truth. And I pray that God will pour His Spirit and blessings upon each one in rich abundance tonight. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled, In Times Like These. And the lyrics can be found on our website at lightministries.com in the home church section under hymns. So, In Times Like These. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. And be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, and be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And dear ones, what is the anchor of our faith that grips the solid rock, Jesus Christ? What is that anchor? It is the doctrine of the sanctuary. that blessed truth connects us directly with our great high priest who's now in the most holy place, interceding for each one and making an atonement for each one. That message connects us directly with the Savior. It is indeed an anchor that holds us steadfast and keeps us looking up. I ask that you please bow your heads and kneel reverently for opening prayer to our Father. Our dear beloved Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your divine protection and watchful care and blessings throughout this past week. Thank you for leading and guiding us and bringing us all back together once again to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to dig into your words of inspiration, and to see what spiritual lessons and principles of righteousness are found therein, and thus can become a greater guide of our lives to lead us evermore to represent you in character and to show ourselves to be your sons and daughters. Father, we give this meeting into thy hands. We allow you to control. And we pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests with each one. Please help each one of us to have a quickened understanding that we might indeed behold wondrous things out of thy word of truth. And please, Spirit, lead and guide us away from all error, all custom and tradition, all preconceived ideas and opinions, all prejudice, that we might indeed see the uplifted Savior and allow him to take the throne of our hearts and set us free. We pray, dear Father, that you'll be with those of our church family that may not be able to make it tonight. Please protect them, lead them, guide them, bless them, and bring them back to be with us soon. And we thank you so much for doing so. Father, we thank you that we're one day closer to heaven and one day closer to getting off of this wicked world. Please help us to get ourselves prepared, for indeed, in the times that we live, in these very last days, we need to be anchored to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as never before. And so please help us in this. Help us so that not a single listening soul will be lost, but that we can truly be hid in our Lord and thus protected from the storm and tempest. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones, and it's a privilege and an honor to be gathered together with you once again. And I tell you, with the severity of the times that we see are coming, we'll be able to look back with fondness at these times in which we were able to gather together to worship our Lord in unity and harmony. And we'll long for those times again. But it will also point us to the future great gathering if we're faithful to the end and do not lose our faith or our courage, but continue to stand fast in the truth and to uplift our Savior. We'll be part of that great reunion on the sea of glass. And what a wonderful time that will be. So indeed, these times in which we can gather in peace and safety and freedom are indeed a blessing that we should make the most of every opportunity to come together. So we appreciate you being with us, dear ones. and let us get into our study book for tonight. We're in chapter 20, right at the very beginning of the chapter. We finished chapter 19, and it ended off with Joseph's 10 brethren. Benjamin wasn't there, but Joseph's 10 brethren selling him to a caravan that was passing by, and they took him to Egypt and sold him there. And no matter how hard Joseph pleaded with his brothers not to sell him, yet they were cold in heart. Their love for him had indeed waxed cold. And his pitiful cries for help didn't touch any chord of sympathy. So, beginning of chapter 20 on page 213. Meanwhile, Joseph with his captors was on the way to Egypt. As the caravan journeyed southward towards the borders of Canaan, the boy could discern in distance the hills among which lay his father's tent. Bitterly he wept at thought of that loving father in his loneliness and affliction. Again the scene at Dothan came up before him. He saw his angry brothers and felt their fierce glances bent upon him. The stinging, insulting words that had met his agonized entreaties were ringing in his ears. With a trembling heart, he looked forward to the future. What a change in situation! From the tenderly cherished son to the despised and helpless slave. Alone and friendless, what would be his lot in the strange land to which he was going? For a time, Joseph gave himself up to uncontrolled grief and terror. But in the providence of God, even this experience was to be a blessing to him. Can you think of anything worse than sold by your family members to be a slave? And yet, this experience was to be a blessing to him because God hadn't forsaken him. God was still in control. Now, it wasn't that God had planned or proposed that Joseph be sold as a slave. But God was not caught unawares. He saw what the brothers were going to do. And in his providence, he had things prepared so that this experience would prove a blessing and not a curse to Joseph. Amen. Sometimes the worst things that happen to us are actually for our good. But at the time we're going through them, we lack faith. We focus on our circumstances. We focus on what we're going through. And it completely overshadows the fact that God is in control. And we're tempted to believe that we're lost. We're tempted to believe that we're forsaken of God. But dear ones, though the heavens fall, yet Christ's promise is, lo, I am with you always. And that holds true even when we can't feel his presence near us. When Christ was dying on the cross, and he no longer felt the presence of his Father, yet the Father was right there. So, dear ones, even if we cannot feel God's presence with us, then we must go forward in faith and claim His promises and realize that He is right there. So with all that had happened and with Joseph reliving the experience in his mind and dwelling upon it, for a time he gave himself up to uncontrolled grief and terror. But yet God was right there with him. And this experience, as traumatic and painful as it was, would work out by God's will as a blessing to Joseph. And no matter what God allows us to go through, it will be a blessing to us. So in the providence of God, even this experience was to be a blessing to Joseph. Continuing, he had learned in a few hours that which years might not otherwise have taught him. His father, strong and tender as his love had been, had done him wrong by his partiality and indulgence. This unwise preference had angered his brothers and provoked them to the cruel deed that had separated him from his home. Its effects were manifest also in his own character. Faults had been encouraged that were now to be corrected. He was becoming self-sufficient and exacting. Accustomed to the tenderness of his father's care, he felt that he was unprepared to cope with the difficulties before him in the bitter, uncared-for life of a stranger and a slave. Then his thoughts turned to his father's God. In his childhood, he had been taught to love and fear him. Often in his father's tent, he had listened to the story of the vision that Jacob saw as he fled from his home in exile and a fugitive. He had been told of the Lord's promises to Jacob and how they had been fulfilled. How, in the hour of need, the angels of God had come to instruct, comfort, and protect him. And he had learned of the love of God in providing for men a Redeemer. Now, all these precious lessons came vividly before him. Who was bringing those precious lessons back to his memory right at that time? Amen. It was the Holy Spirit, his comforter. And the Holy Spirit will do it for each one of us as well. So now all these precious lessons came vividly before him. Continuing, Joseph believed that the God of his fathers would be his God. He then and there gave himself fully to the Lord, and he prayed that the keeper of Israel would be with him in the land of his exile. So here Joseph was sold as a slave, and then he remembered how God had worked so often in the past to deliver his people, and then and there he gave himself fully to the Lord. If this experience hadn't occurred, Joseph would have continued to be the petted son of his tender father and may never have learned to rely himself upon the heavenly Father. So this experience, as traumatic and painful as it was, was turning out to be a great blessing for Joseph's salvation. So, dear ones, if God is allowing you to go through very traumatic experiences, then what's the reason why? It's to lead you step by step to trusting more and more completely in Him to take care of you. And thus, that experience is turning out to be a great blessing for your benefit in salvation. So instead of quibbling and complaining and giving in to doubts and reliving the traumatic experience over and over and over again in your mind until you lose hope, instead, look up and trust in the mighty God who knows what's going on and can see exactly how to turn that event around to be a blessing. Now, of course, the devil wasn't wanting that particular blessing to occur. He was trying to get Joseph to give up in hopeless despair and maybe even take his own life instead of facing a life of slavery. And that's what the devil is seeking to do to each one of us. It wasn't the Lord that was leading Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. It was the devil. And the devil then, after Joseph became a slave, was leading him to give up in hopeless despair. But the Holy Spirit was working on Joseph's heart to lead him into a different direction. And when Joseph turned his attention away from focusing on his situation to now focusing on how God had worked for his people in the past to deliver them over and over and over again, that's when the victory was obtained. That's when he rested his helpless soul on his loving God. Amen. Faith, trust, and obedience. So when Joseph stopped focusing on his situation and then focused on God, hope revived. Faith was rekindled, trust became greater, and Joseph gave himself fully to the Lord, and whatever would happen from that point on, he would continue trusting in God. And dear ones, the same experience will happen to each one of us, but we must look up before we can live, because our Father and our elder brother and Savior, Jesus Christ, will indeed give us all the grace and the strength to lift us up above our circumstances. And the Spirit will be right there to comfort us and guide us every step of the way. So then the devil had planned to end Joseph's life. But God and the Spirit had different plans. And Joseph decided to follow God. And you know the rest of the story. But Joseph didn't know it at the time. and we don't know our outcome. That's in the hands of God. But we can surely trust in Him and lay all our cares and burdens at His feet. And whatever comes, we know it will work out for a blessing, for our benefit, especially with the goal of heaven and salvation in mind. So, dear ones, don't worry. Amen. Comment in the room, it says, we can know that God will take better care of us than we could ourselves. And that's true. And then another comment is, may we have the patience to go through whatever comes to our lives. Amen indeed. And another comment, it says, I'm glad that Joseph didn't follow his preposterous problem path, but instead turned his attention to God. Amen indeed. So Joseph believed that the God of his fathers would be his God, and then he gave himself fully to the Lord and prayed that the keeper of Israel would be with him in this land of exile. Continuing. His soul thrilled with the high resolve to prove himself true to God. Not true to his captors, true to God. Under all circumstances, to act as being a subject of the King of Heaven. He would serve the Lord with undivided heart. He would meet the trials of his lot with fortitude and perform every duty with fidelity. So then, was Joseph angry at his captors? No. It really wasn't their fault that he was sold to them. So if it wasn't their fault, then why would he want to be a problem slave or to fight against his captors? Why would he try to war in such a way as to force his freedom from their control? So he was sold to them as a slave. It wasn't his fault. And since he had chosen to serve the Lord and let the Lord control, then he would serve the Lord with an undivided heart. He would meet the trials of his slavery with fortitude and perform every duty, every command, with fidelity. How many of us would do the same? How many of us would avoid becoming bitter and then being a troublesome slave instead of a faithful slave? How many of us would so fully resolve to wait on the Lord and to rest in His love, looking unto Him to give us all the grace and the strength and the fortitude and the energy to deal with whatever daily situation met us and be faithful to God throughout all the difficulties? It would all depend on where our focus was. If our focus was on ourselves, then we'd be miserable and we'd be a miserable servant and everything else. But if our focus was on God, then our purpose is to please Him, to serve Him, and if need be, to be a slave, but the best slave of them all. Because we were seeking to please our great Father. Amen. To suffer for his name, if need be. Because God is in control. So all this occurred in one day with Joseph. And he was less than 20, I think 17. I'm not quite sure on the age. But he wasn't even 20, still a teenager. And he made this great decision. So he would serve the Lord with an undivided heart, and he would perform his slave duties with fidelity. Continuing. One day's experience had been the turning point in Joseph's life. Its terrible calamity had transformed him from a petted child to a man, thoughtful, courageous, and self-possessed. If that experience hadn't occurred, Joseph may never have been transformed in character. You know, sometimes we look at these terrible experiences that were going on in the lives of God's servants throughout the different ages. And the thought comes to mind, well, if God knows all things, then why couldn't God have prevented this great calamity from happening? Or why couldn't God have defeated the purpose of Joseph's brothers when they were selling him into slavery and allowed him to escape? Or allowed him to be set free by changing the hearts of his captors? And since God didn't deliver Joseph, and God didn't deliver or prevent different calamities from befalling his people, we're tempted to doubt that God is really in control. But dear ones, all we have to do is continue in the experience of these faithful followers of God to know and understand that God had everything already prepared. And the reason he didn't prevent Joseph from being sold as a slave was because Joseph needed to learn the lessons that would allow him to gain salvation. Amen. It was a character-building experience. And it's the same with each one of us. If we've given our heart to God, then whatever God allows to occur is for a purpose. It's to expose some weakness in our characters that need to be built up and no longer be weak, but now become strong. Or some habits in our lives need to be broken up and thrown away, overcome, and then new habits of righteousness take their place.
If it's okay, I just wanted to make a comment about Jacob's love for Joseph. Because it's well known that how the love of the father in the family builds a character in the children. And I think of all of the sons, Joseph was the one that God picked to let his light, let God's light shine through him to the Egyptians, and also to show others how God takes care of them. But I believe that because he had that love from Joseph, and it built a character in him. He listened to what his dad said, and he remembered it when it was the right time. It all happened in God's perfect timing.
Amen. Amen. And that was a key point you brought up. It happened all in God's perfect timing. So it didn't happen 2 years earlier, and it didn't happen 2 years later. It happened at the very time that God saw it was necessary. So if you think about it on this way, God didn't prevent Joseph's brothers selling him, but he did overrule as to the timing and the place where it was to occur. So God is in control, and what he allows, even though it's not what he would do himself, but what he allows, he's able to work out the situation and the circumstances to turn that negative event into a great positive event. And it's the same miracle-working God that we serve today. And he's working in the same way in our lives. So Joseph decided to serve God with all his heart and to be the best possible slave of them all. And he knew that God would indeed strengthen him, give him the patience and the courage and the fortitude to remain faithful. Now let's see how God worked in his circumstances here. Continuing. Arriving in Egypt, Joseph was sold to Potiphar, captain of the king's guard. Why? Why wasn't he sold to some hard taskmaster? Why wasn't he sold to some humble little individual in Egypt that just needed someone to help out with household duties? Why was he sold to Potiphar? And why was Potiphar the captain of the king's guard? Because God arranged it to be so. He prevented Joseph from being sold to anyone else but Potiphar. And we'll see why. Arriving in Egypt, Joseph was sold to Potiphar, captain of the king's guard. Continuing, in whose service he remained for 10 years. He was here exposed to temptations of no ordinary character. He was in the midst of idolatry. The worship of false gods was surrounded by all the pomp of royalty, supported by the wealth and culture of the most highly civilized nation then in existence. Yet Joseph preserved his simplicity and his fidelity to God. The sights and sounds of vice were all about him, but he was as one who saw and heard not. His thoughts were not permitted to linger upon forbidden subjects. So Joseph was tempted by all of this, and the devil was planting thoughts in his head, but Joseph did not dwell upon those forbidden thoughts, because it would ruin his fidelity to God. So God didn't protect Joseph from temptation. He just gave him the extra grace and the strength not to give in to the temptation. And one of the most important areas that he avoided temptation or giving into it was his thoughts. You have to think about something before you act on it. So if you don't think upon sin, then you will not act on sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If the thoughts of your heart are on righteousness, then sin will not dwell in your actions. So Joseph did not permit his thoughts to linger upon forbidden subjects. Continuing. The desire to gain the favor of the Egyptians could not cause him to conceal his principles. Had he attempted to do this or to compromise, he would have been overcome by temptation. So if Joseph would have compromised his principles in order to gain the favor of his captors, he would have been overcome by temptation. So had Joseph compromised, he would have been overcome, continuing, but he was not ashamed of the religion of his fathers, and he made no effort to hide the fact that he was a worshiper of Jehovah. So then if we're in the company of different acquaintances, and these acquaintances decide that they want to go and do something that we know is wrong, are we going to hide the fact that we're a worshiper of Jehovah so that we do not stand out as being different than the crowd? Are we going to compromise our faith so that we avoid being sneered or picked on by those around us because we're not going along with them to do something wrong? If we compromise, if we hide our faith, then we're going to be overcome by temptation. But Joseph was not ashamed of his religion, and he made no effort to hide the fact that he worshipped the God of Israel. Continuing. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, how long was Joseph in Potiphar's service? 10 years. So then, did the Lord immediately make it apparent to Potiphar that God was blessing everything that Joseph did? No. Little by little, it became apparent. Joseph may have worked for Potiphar maybe 2 years before Potiphar started to understand that God was blessing him. So that's 2 years that Joseph remained faithful, even though he didn't see any kind of benefit of God towards him with his master. And dear ones, it may be years before we notice that God is indeed working for our deliverance. In other words, we're being tested. Are we going to remain faithful to God? Are we going to give in to despondency and doubts that he really cares for us because he hasn't immediately delivered us from our negative situation? Or are we going to be faithful under any and every trial and prove ourselves to be leaning on the everlasting arms that will never fail us, and not leaning on our own desires or our own timetables? So the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man because God was blessing him, because Joseph remained faithful. And his master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him and that God was blessing everything that Joseph was doing. Continuing. Potiphar's confidence in Joseph increased daily, and he finally promoted him to be his steward with full control over all his possessions. Was that common for a slave to be promoted to such a high position of responsibility? Not at all. So you can see that God was in control. So even though Joseph was not yet delivered from his slavery, yet God revealed to Joseph that he was indeed in control. Everything was working out according to God's timetable. And as long as Joseph kept looking up and remained faithful to God, then God's perfect will would be accomplished. So Potiphar finally promoted Joseph to be his steward with full control over all his possessions. Continuing. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. Okay, continuing, next paragraph. The marked prosperity which attended everything placed under Joseph's care was not the result of a direct miracle, but his industry, care, and energy were crowned with a divine blessing. So in other words, God didn't work a direct miracle to promote Joseph to such a high position without Joseph's previous fidelity. If Joseph would have just sat around and did just what was required of him and not any more, then he wouldn't have been promoted. And God would not have worked a miracle to change Potiphar's heart and promote Joseph, because Joseph wasn't performing all that he was capable of performing, but was because of Joseph's industry, his care, and the energy in performing his slavery's duties that God was able to crown with success, and thus worked little by little, day by day, to gain Potiphar's confidence. So God isn't going to bless our table with abundance if we're not active in working to supply the table. Because what we sow, that we are going to reap. If we are lazy, then we're going to reap laziness. If we are industrious, then we're going to reap industrious items. If we're a blessing to others, then we're going to be in turn blessed. So it all came down to attitude. Joseph determined to be the best slave. that he could possibly be, even though he never should have been sold as a slave in the first place. So, dear ones, whatever situation we find ourselves in, remain fidelicious to God. Make the best of your situation. You've all heard the phrase that if life deals you out lemons, then make lemonade from it. Make the best of your situation. With the goal of glorifying God. And God will indeed bless your fidelity to Him. Amen. Be positive instead of negative. Ellen White had an object lesson that she brought out. And it was dealing with a flower bed that were filled with roses. And she said there's some individuals that walk into that rose garden and all they do is complain about the thorns that are on the bush, about how those thorns are going to prick them and make them bleed and how they're going to hurt. But others, when they walk in the rose garden, focus upon the roses. They focus upon the fragrance that God has given them, the beautiful colors, the perfect arrangement of its petals. So even though they're surrounded by thorns, yet they don't focus on the negative. They focus on the positive of where they are. And that can make all the difference between whether you're miserable or whether you're happy. If you look up, you're going to rise above your circumstances, and thus the circumstances can never bring you down. It's just like in a stormy day. Are you going to focus upon the dark, angry clouds, or are you going to focus upon, in faith, that the sun is shining brightly above the storm? It's the same thing with the situations that we're going through. Are we going to focus upon the situations that are negative? Or are we going to focus upon God who's able to work a victory if we just focus on Him? So the marked prosperity which attended everything placed under Joseph's care was because of his positive attitude, and God blessed that attitude. And God will also bless us if we with faith look up and not down. Continuing. Joseph attributed his success to the favor of God, and even his idolatrous master accepted this as the secret of his unparalleled prosperity. So Joseph, because of his positive attitude and his devotion to God, was witnessing by his life. And those that were not followers of God were noticing it. And thus were being led to understand that there is a God in heaven who watches over His followers. And the same with each one of us, dear ones. People are watching how we react to different situations that afflict us or affect us. What kind of witness are we bearing? What kind of attitude are we showing them? Are we uplifting the Lord? Or are we not? Are we giving glory to God? Or are we not? And you know, if Potiphar saw what was going on, then all the other slaves noticed what was going on, and all of Potiphar's household, and perhaps even the rest of the guards that were underneath Potiphar's control were also being witnessed to. So Joseph attributed his success to the favor of God, and even his idolatrous master and others accepted this as the secret of his unparalleled prosperity. Continuing. Without steadfast, well-directed effort, however, success could never have been attained. God was glorified by the faithfulness of his servant. It was his purpose that in purity and uprightness the believer in God should appear in marked contrast to the worshipers of idols, that thus the light of heavenly grace might shine forth amid the darkness of heathenism. So what was another reason why God permitted Joseph to be sold as a slave in Egypt and then sold to Potiphar? To be a missionary, to shine forth the light of heavenly grace amid the darkness . Joseph never imagined that that was part of God's purpose, but yet it was. And dear ones, we are an open book, known and read of all people. What kind of witness are we giving to others? What kind of missionary work are we doing for the Lord? But you know, Joseph was not the only follower of God that was sown into slavery. Can you remember another individual that was sold into slavery whose missionary work did a lot to lead a very powerful heathen towards being converted to God? Yes, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I was actually thinking of another one. It was a little girl. Yes, there you go, the young girl during the time of Naaman. That young girl was captured and sold into slavery, and she happened to be sold as a slave in the household of Naaman. Naaman was the general of the Syrian army, and he had leprosy. And the little girl witnessed her faith in God by saying, "There is a prophet in the land of Israel whom God works through. Surely he will be able to heal you." If that girl had not been captured, had not been sold into slavery, Naaman would not have been witnessed to and then led to understand that there is a God in heaven who is greater than all the gods he believed in. So again, just like with Joseph, this little girl, as well as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remained faithful, fidelitous to God, looked to him, the author and finisher of their faith, to lead, guide, give grace, strength, wisdom, to be able to faithfully lead a life of a Christian, a follower of God. And God was able to bless their efforts and allow the light of heavenly grace to shine forth amid the darkness. And God will do the same for each one of us, dear ones, no matter how negative a situation God allows us to be in and to go through.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Elder Robert, last week I raised the query about after the family came to Egypt and there was a great reconciliation, whether the brothers expressed any repentance, asked forgiveness of Joseph and particularly of God, and what Jacob's involvement was, whether he very angry with the brothers. And you said then that you'd wondered this too, but there might be something in the spirit of prophecy. I meant to look that up this week and didn't. Did you have the time to do it and see if there is an answer?
No, I haven't, dear sister. And I was referring to, as we continue in our study book, Patriarchs and Prophets, that we might be able to come across something to show that his brothers repented. And I'm positive that they did, but it would be nice to find a direct statement. No, I have not taken the time to do that yet.
I'd like to make that my research. Can I do a little bit of homework for next week and maybe report back online what I found, presuming I find something? Would that be okay with you?
Sister Lucy has asked that we both sing something to you.
Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus.
I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus.
Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Makes of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus.
I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus.
Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus.
I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus.
Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
I have a comment and a song. Well, first I want to show the comment first. Well, I once read this story about integrity, or the act of being honest to others. Well, I seen that Joseph has been honest his entire life, even when in his brother sold him to the Ishmaelites, or Midianites. Not really that sure which tribe he was sold to. And, you know, but even though he was afraid, what will happen, it was all part of God's plans that he could help open his dad and Emily. And we'll then get to that part yet, but we'll soon anyway. But the thing is, he's been honest his entire life. And that sort of relates with the story I read. It was about a boy, and you see this boy was beaten by another one, but the other boy that hit this one wasn't very tall or bigger than him. He was pretty small, but the other boy who was hit by this, by the one that hit him, the little boy who would give the big boy his apple wouldn't share, because as they both had the same apple. Well, but the big boy, they wanted the whole apple, so he wasn't being there in honesty sharing. He wanted the whole thing. After that, the little boy had no strength, and he hit him pretty hard. But when he got home, he told his mother what had happened, and told him to wash up and clean off the wounds that the boy gave him. And when he was done, the big boy's sister thought that the little boy who hit him should get hurt back. But that's not what this other little boy was thinking. He didn't lie or do anything wrong. It was him who was the one and that was doing something wrong. He wasn't doing an honest share. After he talked with his dad about this situation, and he found the right solution. His father called and said, "There is no place for you. Such principles as you act upon are not popular at this table. You'll find proper food for a boy who conducts himself as you have done on a stand in the corner of the kitchen." The older boy was seeing what he had done. It said that there's a difference between this boy and Joseph. This young boy was not a teenager like Joseph was, but he had much of a more lesson than Joseph had ever been taught, except he didn't remember them clearly because he was so much in anger when the younger boy tried to hit him like that. So the poor child asked, "Can I ever go back to him?" And his dad replied, "Certainly, when you have made your affairs right." But he asked, how can I do that?" He said, "Use your money and go to the store and buy a boy a new apple and give it to him with an apology. Then you will be once more a fellow of integrity. We shall be glad of your company." And so the boy did what his father told him to do. And the two boys became friends. Ends again. And so the whole point of the story was the integrity that Joseph and both this boy had right inside of them, that we should be honest just with others too. We'll be honest with God, be honest just with our loved ones, be honest with everybody. Because everybody deserves honesty, not a fake story or a fib or a lie. They all need the truth. And the song I was going to sing was "Pass Me Not Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, ring. Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the door of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, my humble cry. While another's hour calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, will I see thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, my humble cry. While others is thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Who have I on earth beside thee, whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother, and also thank you, dear brother and sister, for those lovely songs. And there was a question put up earlier. It says, the life of Joseph seems perfect. And one author commented that the only weakness he observed in Joseph's life is that he cried a lot, if you might consider this a weakness. What could be the secret of this young man? And I myself don't see crying as a weakness in all circumstances. I mean, there is some where you just give up to hopeless despair and you just are constantly weeping instead of rising up in the strength and grace of Christ and going forward. But a lot of times crying is a release of emotions that are built up to a certain level in the body. And so it's a release of those emotions. And I don't see that as a form of weakness. But as to what the secret of Joseph was, what allowed him to remain faithful under abuse and to avoid giving into temptation while he was surrounded by it, it was because he determined to be faithful to God and to rely upon God for the grace and the strength and the wisdom to walk a perfect path. Amen. Amen. He was just like Christ. Christ determined that he would have the law of God written in his heart so that he would not sin against him. And it was the same with Joseph. And it can be the same with each one of us. Are we going to allow God's law to be written in our heart and mind to such an extent that it becomes the guide of our entire life? Even the guide of our thoughts? If so, then we can be just like Christ. we can walk that straight and narrow path, giving glory to God with each step of the way. So just like with Joseph, we can be faithful under adversity. And God will bless our faithfulness. And we will indeed be a missionary, a worker, a witness for the Most High, whether we know that we're witnessing for Him or not, just by our faithful life. But dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other songs, any other comments before we close tonight's service? Please feel free to do so.
I just wanted to share this hymn. It goes so beautiful with tonight's blessing. It's a hymn of faith and trust. And the title of it is, I Know My Heavenly Father Knows. I know my Heavenly Father knows the stars that were my way oppose. But He can drive the clouds away and turn my darkness into day. And turn my darkness into day. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure He knows. The storm that will my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure He knows. And tempers every wind that blows. I know my Heavenly Father knows the balm I need to soothe my woes. And with His touch of love divine, He heals this wound, this soul of mine. He heals this wounded soul of mine. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure He knows. The storm that will my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure He knows. And tempers every wind that blows. I know my Heavenly Father knows how frail I am to meet my foes. For He my cause will e'er defend, uphold and keep me till the end. Oppose and keep me till the end. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure He knows. The storm that will my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure He knows. And tempers every wind that blows. I know my Heavenly Father knows the hour my journey here will close. And may the hour of faithful guide find me safe sheltered by Thy side. By me safe shelter by Thy side. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure He knows. The storm that will my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure He knows. And tempers every wind that blows.
Amen and praise the Lord. We truly serve a wonderful, merciful, compassionate, and tender-hearted God. And what a privilege it is to do so. Well, dear ones, I want to thank one and all for coming and fellowshipping together. Thank you so much for your participation in the study. And thank you especially for the comments and the songs. They were indeed wonderful and beautiful. And now it's time for closing prayer, and our dear sister Elaine will have that for us now.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the beginning of another Sabbath day. We thank you, dear Lord, for the faithfulness of Joseph and the example that he has given us. Father, help us to follow not only what Joseph has done, but so many other young people in the Bible, that you give us examples that were very young when temptations came and they stood fast. If the young can do it, dear Lord, those of us that have had more years added to our age should be able to do it also, for we've had the experience. Although we've collected habits we shouldn't, help us, dear Lord, to overcome each of those things that would keep us out of heaven, that we might all be together and be ready to lift up our face and say, Lo, here is the one who we have waited for. Help us, dear Lord, for our hearts to cry out each day for your help, for your coming, and that we might spread the word. Bless each of us now as we go our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Well, dear ones, may God bless. May he continue to lead and guide you and protect you. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. 3 John verse 2. So go with God, dear ones, and keep looking up.